Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Also want to let you know today we're sponsored by Simply Safe Home Security. Today we have crazy, crazy, and crazy martinis for you. And Jim, it's just too bad that we have to dig and scratch and scrape to find some political news to talk about here on Monday because, you know, the weekend was just so quiet with nothing going on.
You know, is it just me or are we going to look back on news-free weekends as being a Obama administration relic? Right, like, you know, there used to be, you know, the president's weekly radio address and turned into a video address, and it was always, you know, I believe in schools. I know, and everybody yawned and life would go on, and we would do stuff. Instead, every Friday night, Saturday morning, which, oh, by the way, people point out, you know, Jared Kushner is honoring the Sabbath that day. He and Ivanka are not around to kind of say, no, 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 Dad, don't do that. No, no, you don't want to tweet that out. Hold on. Grab the phone. There's nobody around to kind of dissuade Trump from doing that, and that's when he tends to let loose on Twitter, and he managed to top himself. Well, I don't know if he would top. It'd be a strong competition for the most incendiary series of tweets, but I think this one, in terms of big allegations, probably takes the prize for in that category.
Yeah, so not surprisingly, all three of our martinis deal with this today, and we're pretty much going to leave no one unscathed in this. Let's start with Trump himself, because that's where this whole fiasco started. Very early Saturday morning at Mar-a-Lago. Started at 3:34 a.m. Eastern Time, and the tweet storm ended at 4:02. Always good to use that time of day and this method to say things like, terrible! Just found out that Obama had my wires tapped in Trump Tower just before the victory. Nothing found. This is McCarthyism. Then it's, is it legal for a sitting president to be wiretapping a race for president prior to an election? Turned down by a court earlier. A new low. Then, I bet a good lawyer could make a great case out of the fact that President Obama was tapping my phones in October just prior to election. Then, how low has President Obama gone to tap my phones during the very sacred election process? This is Nixon/Watergate. Bad or sick guy. And then, of course, the next tweet's about Arnold Schwarzenegger and The Apprentice. Jim, there are certain ways to go about this if you hear revelations or rumors to this effect, and you've actually got some pretty good tools as President of the United States to dig into it before you tweet storm at 4 in the morning.
Yeah. I mean, we'll elaborate on this a bit in our second martini here, but if you're going to go out and basically accuse President Obama of abusing his power, abusing the Department of Justice, abusing domestic surveillance authority that's supposed to be reserved for foreign intelligence and for terrorists and for things like that, when he says just learned from who, Mr. President? Like, that's going to help a lot. Like, if you say, well, actually, I've just got the, you know, Department of Justice memo saying eavesdrop on Trump Tower, please. There we go. We'd have a smoking, you know, gun memo, and there you go. There were some reports that he read this on Breitbart or that he read this from or heard this from radio host Mark Levin. Now, God bless Mark Levin, but and maybe he has sources somewhere within the you know, vast apparatus of national security agencies and things like that. But when you're going to make an allegation like that, you'd think you'd then be able to say, and I've, you know, here is the evidence. Hold it up. Show people. Right. But instead, Trump just says it and it's up to the rest of the world to disprove it. And as we kind of will elaborate in a second, there's, you know, one of those people said you should take him, you know, take him seriously, but not literally.
Yes.
Literally, there's no truth of the way he worded it. Now, there's a little, let's just say, circumstantial evidence or reports that kind of line up with some parts of this, but not the way the president did. And again, if you really believe that the previous president illegally or unethically wiretapped your home and your office in an effort to sway the presidential election, wouldn't you announce that in something more than a tweet? Doesn't this require like massive indictments or something? Isn't that criminal? Wouldn't we expect us to hear this from the attorney general? Naturally, the Department of Justice is not saying anything about this, or at least as of this taping. Comey apparently Comey will leak to the FBI. This is total nonsense. But he will not stay in front of cameras and give or even put an on record statement saying that this is total nonsense, which has me a little bit. I say, I don't know about you, Greg. I hear this and I kind of start wondering, is everybody 100% sure this is untrue since nobody's willing to go on the record saying it's not true? It's kind of like, look, I'm pretty sure Elvis did not run away with Bigfoot. Yeah, I'm pretty sure too. But the fact that you're not willing to say 100% certainty, hand on the Bible, It leaves me with a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a red flag in the back of my mind.
But then the former president himself issued a statement through his spokesman, Kevin Lewis, which leaves more than a few holes to fill in here. Quote, a cardinal rule of the Obama administration was that no White House official ever interfered with any independent investigation led by the Department of Justice. As part of that practice, neither President Obama nor any White House official ever ordered surveillance on any U.S. citizen. Any suggestion otherwise is simply false. Basically saying, well, I didn't order it. Because because we don't.
Which is not the same as saying it didn't happen.
Right.
And we're left with this kind of, you know, scratching guard. Now, I had pointed out that, look, with one thing we do seem to know about, and the reason I'm saying seem to is that everything we've learned about the story of alleged collusion between Russian and Trump's, the Russians and the Trump campaign, or Trump himself, or Carter Page and Manafort and Flynn, has come from sources that are anonymous, leaks to the New York Times and other news organizations. Now, these sources could very well be telling the truth, but we can't be 100% certain of that. And I gave the example last week. There was one anonymous source who was telling NBC News that absolutely nothing of value was recovered in that raid in Yemen that involved the death of a U.S. Navy SEAL. And then a couple of days later, American officials were telling the New York Times that, in fact, we had gotten very useful, substantive intelligence from this raid in Yemen. I have a very hard time believing that both sides are being totally honest in that assessment. Somebody, they're too contradictory to indicate that somebody's on the up and up. In other words, it's not, you know, it's conceivable that some of these anonymous sources are either lying or offering an account of events that is not supported by all the rest of the evidence. And because all we're hearing is that they are U.S. officials or American officials or national security officials or law enforcement officials, we don't get any specific names to go with this. We on the outside don't have much way to evaluate whether this is true or not. And so the news kind of is turning into choose your own adventure, where if you like this account, you listen to these anonymous sources. But if you don't like, you know, if you don't like them, you just kind of reject them. So I put it in the Morning Jolt today. Has anybody talked on the record about this alleged collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia or any wiretapping of the Trump campaign? And some people pointed to me that, yes, this weekend on Meet the Press, James Clapper, former director of National Intelligence. Now, as soon as I mentioned his words, some people say, wait, isn't that the guy who lied to Congress? Yes. He didn't lie. He totally forgot that, in fact, we were doing mass domestic surveillance of Americans' cell phone data, metadata, and emails and things like that. He just missed it by one word. He meant yes. He said no. That's the version of the account from us. But before I start whacking him around a bit, it's worth pointing out. So he's interviewed by Chuck Todd. And he says that at one point, you know, was there any evidence of Trump's claim that he was that the Obama administration wiretapped him? Clapper says there was no such wiretap activity mounted against the president-elect at the time, or as a candidate, or against his campaign. And that seems pretty comprehensive. And when he says if the, you know, he was asked if did a FISA, meaning a Foreign Intelligence Service Surveillance Court Act order, was, you know, for the Trump campaign existed, Clapper said, I can deny it. But then he says, you know, and he says if there was any wiretap that he certainly hoped he would be aware of it. I mean, there's a small possibility this is some sort of crazy rogue FBI agents or group, you know, doing after this. And also he adds, I can't speak for other authorized entity in the government or a state or local entity. So I don't know about you. There's a little tiny bit of wiggle room there. But then in the same interview, something that seemed really big to me, Greg, and I saw almost nobody else is touting this. You know, so Chuck Todd asked, was there any evidence the Trump campaign was colluding with the Russian government while the Kremlin was working to influence the election? Clapper says, not to my knowledge, based on the information he had before his time in the position ended. We did not include anything in our report that had any reflection on collusion between members of the Trump campaign and the Russians. There was no evidence of that included in our report. We had no evidence of such collusion. Greg, am I crazy or is that a really big deal?
That's a pretty big deal.
Right. The DNI is saying that, look, yeah, was Russia trying to influence the election? Yes. Was Trump in, you know, were certain folks in Trump's orbit in contact with people in Russian government? Yes. Were they trying to influence the election? No, or at least up until James Clapper was departed the job, which I got to go back and check, but I got to figure it was close to December, January. So unless some evidence has come up in the last couple of weeks or something like that, there's, you know, the entire narrative of wahaha, Vladimir Putin putting in the Siberian candidate into the Oval Office, just it's not supported by this. Now, the moment I point this out, and I'm pointing out that, hey, Clapper is really letting Trump off the hook here. This entire grand conspiracy theory that Hillary Clinton supporters and the left have embraced since Election Day is being shot to heck. For an example of how twisted this story is, Greg, I have people, Trump fans on Twitter saying, we can't trust Clapper, even when he's offering evidence that gets Trump off the hook. Wait a second. Wait a minute. You're arguing against when he's supporting the argument for your guy. Everybody slow down. Slow down. We are now all twisted into pretzels. And this is one of those moments where I have this nagging, you know, sense of like, look, because we're dealing entirely with anonymous sources, and the anonymous sources are often putting out either, if not directly contrary takes on the same information, very different spins on these sorts of matters. I think the whole thing has turned into an incoherent mess, and very hard to follow this story when it's apparently the most, like, this is the most important story in American politics right now. And we have heard from one, if you count, let's count Obama's spokesman, Trump, and Clapper, three on the record sources out of dozens and dozens that have commented to the media on this. And we have no idea to evaluate who's telling the truth and who isn't.
Jim, a couple quick follow-ups here. First of all, based on what Clapper said, that seems to go against what appeared to be one of the few hard and fast facts this weekend, and that's that there was an attempt to get a FISA warrant back in June that was denied, and then it was more narrowly tailored and perhaps applied only to a server in October, and that was granted. Are we saying now that we don't know for sure that actually happened, or we just don't know the details yet?
Does Clapper know what he's talking about? Or did Clapper have another convenient memory lapse?
I don't know.
Right? I mean, again, this is based on New York Times reporting, once again, anonymous sources, but our Andy McCarthy, who knows all about this world from his days as a federal prosecutor, is writing about this. And he kind of says that there was a, you know, there was a request for a FISA warrant back in June of last year, and it was rejected. Now, you may recall the FISA court, he says it's unfair to call it a rubber stamp. At least for a while, they were in the category of approving something in the neighborhood of 99.9% of all requests for a wiretap. In other words, the court, you know, it's for the court to say no, you really had to step in something in your request for that. So the idea that they said no, you got to wonder what was in that request, right? Was the FBI saying, well, we just want to hear everything Trump is doing just to see if there's any good stuff in there. I mean, like, that must have been what the, you know, the sneaking suspicion is, if we heard that, we would, you know, then not think very well of the FBI. They got a more narrowly tailored one in October, which did not target Trump specifically. Again, this is all quoting anonymous sources in the Times, but it did look at Carter Page and Flynn and Manafort. And so what did those wiretaps find, right? Like, what are we finding here? We have this giant massive scandal going on in which we have not actually heard at any point from anybody in law enforcement about anything specific about what they've found. I'd like to think that if there's really genuine wrongdoing going on, then at some point the FBI will go to a prosecutor and the prosecutor will say, okay, these are the people we're going to indict. But I don't know how this is going to shake out. And so we're just kind of stuck with you. Listen, if you have a sneaking suspicion that there might've been something a little sketchy and, you know, some people around Trump talking to the Russian government, maybe it wasn't a good idea for those people to talk. Okay, fine. But the idea that the left has seized upon this to basically argue, as I just heard this weekend, Nancy Pelosi using the same phrase, Russia hacked the election.
Right.
And when they use that wording, it makes people think the election results were hacked. What they mean is Russia tried to influence the election, which really shouldn't be that surprising to us, since Russia likes to influence everybody's election. And they had two candidates, and one candidate was very nice to them, and one candidate was apparently not very nice to them, even though there was that nice uranium deal from a couple of years ago. And it was like, we can be bothered. We can object to Russia trying to influence our elections, but we can't really be surprised, can we, when there's, you know, such a distinction between the candidates there? So anyway, I find it a mess. And feel safe, Americans.
Well, before we exit this lengthy second martini, perhaps one of the more cogent explanations comes from former Attorney General Mike Mukasey, who was appearing with Martha Raddatz, who was in for George Stephanopoulos on the This Week program. And here's his summary of how Trump could be incorrect but still right. Here we go.
This is the difference between being correct and being right. I think the president was not correct, certainly, in saying that President Obama ordered a tap on a server in Trump Tower. However, I think he's right in that there was surveillance and that it was conducted at the behest of the attorney of the Justice Department through the FISA court.
And what do you base that on?
I base that on news reports that you mentioned in the last spot. I also base it on a kind of inadvertent blurting out by Adam Schiff that his committee wants to talk to the counterintelligence agents at the FBI who were involved in this. Now, what that means is that this is part not of a criminal investigation, but of an intelligence gathering investigation.
So we'll find out, Jim, if that's right. But I think we have this quote now that is a new reason for everyone to pretty much want to throw up when they think of what happens in Washington.
This is the difference between being correct and being right.
Now, here's Mukasey is one of the straightest shooters in Washington. And in the full quote, you kind of get a sense of why he's trying to explain the distinction he's making.
Yes.
But, Greg, am I crazy if I heard, this is Dan Rather with the fake but accurate CBS News?
That's right.
Yeah, I'd say, well, I wasn't correct, but I was right. I'm going to try that in my next argument with Mrs. Campaign Spot. We'll see how that shakes out. Honey, I'm not correct, but I was right. So
good luck with that. Jim, all this discussion makes me think, though, that there's a whole new market for SimpliSafe. I'm not going to tell them what to do, but perhaps server protection, phone line protection. I think all this stuff is now ripe for protection through SimpliSafe. And we've talked about SimpliSafe many times before. And we've told you in the past about the alarming story out of California not too long ago where a woman was hired to clean homes and was stealing from them at the same time because this person was trusted. She was given the code to the alarm system, so she waltzed right in, not considered to be a problem, and lo and behold, she's walking off with stuff. So imagine that. You're paying someone to help take care of your home. They steal from you. So how do you protect yourself from something and someone like this? Because a regular security system isn't going to protect you from the people you actually know and trust.
As we're having this conversation, Greg, I'm wondering how many listeners at home saying, wait a minute, I gave the cleaning ladies a key to my house.
Right, exactly.
I mean, for obvious reasons, you don't necessarily want to be around when the cleaning ladies are vacuuming or doing whatever they are. Or whoever, you, with the handyman coming in to do home repair, whatever. You have people coming into your home, maybe not regularly, but semi-regularly. And every one of them is, you know, theoretically someone who, if they're of bad character, might see something that's, you know, nice and shiny and they suspect they can make some good money on and decide to take it. So here's what you do. You get SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe makes it possible to know what's going on in your home. If you want to check in, you can just live stream footage from the SimpliSafe camera directly to your smartphone anytime you like. You can get text message and email alerts when someone arms or disarms your system, so you'll be sure and confident that your home is safe.
For 24/7 protection that you can really trust, go to simplisafe.com/ricochet. That's spelled SimpliSafe.com. Order a SimpliSafe home security system today, and you'll even get our special 10% discount. So go now, simplisafe.com/ricochet. Jim, let's move on to our third crazy martini. This one actually encompasses time before the Trump tweet storm all the way to Sunday morning. Chris Coons is a Democrat from Delaware. I believe he was the one who was elected to replace Joe Biden in the U.S. Senate, and he was appearing with Andrea Mitchell on MSNBC on Friday and talking about how it was critical for the intelligence committees in Congress to get access to all the materials, and here's one of the big reasons why.
Well, I think it's important that the outcome of that counterintelligence investigation be fully shared with the intelligence committees, both in the House and the Senate. There are transcripts that provide very helpful, very critical insights into whether or not Russian intelligence and senior Russian political leaders, including Vladimir Putin, were cooperating, were colluding with the Trump campaign at the highest levels to influence the outcome of our election.
Oh, so these transcripts are totally going to tell us what really happened, right, Andrea Mitchell?
And let me just clear up very briefly. Do such transcripts exist? Is that what you're saying?
I have not seen them. I believe they exist.
Well, that's walking it back a little. And if you want to see him backpedal even faster, give that kind of an answer to Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday.
Why would you suggest in that clip that I just played for Senator Cotton that there are FBI transcripts that show, and I want to get your words, provide very critical insights into collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians?
What I was trying to make clear, Chris, and I appreciate a chance to restate this, is that I don't have, and I don't know of, any conclusive proof, one way or the other, about whether there was collusion between senior levels of the Trump campaign and Russian officials. But I believe that our intelligence community, which is the most sophisticated in the world, has intercepts, has raw intelligence, and it's important that the Senate Intelligence Committee, which is conducting an investigation, be given access to those intercepts, to transcripts of those intercepts, so that they can get to the bottom of this.
In other words, he has no idea what they have.
I was about to say, I believe these transcripts exist. I also believe in UFOs. Greg, I believe the Jets should not sign Jay Cutler. That doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Look, as I was saying, how few people are actually going on the record. The people who are going on the record in this situation are generally not are members of Congress, some on the Intelligence Committee, some not. And they're not always clear about, look, this is what I know for certain from my work on the committee. I've been briefed on this. I have gotten this with absolute certainty from, you know, our intelligence community. And then there's the stuff they just think. And they're not good about sorting out the differences there. So I'm you know, this is a deeply frustrating story. I saw, I think it was NBC News or somebody had the headline, "Welcome to the Post-Truth Presidency." Well, look, guys, do you think anything you're doing has anything to do with this? Do you think there's in any way, shape, or form relying on anybody, and, you know, just U.S. officials that will say anything you like? Do you think that's anything to do with why people are losing faith in Washington? Just let me just put that out there as a potential thought for you guys to just let that simmer back there and contemplate if there's anything at all you guys could be doing differently to see how this works out.
I'm still just spinning my head. You could run for Congress on Jim Garrity. He might not be correct, but he's right.
Always right, yeah. Always right-ish.
Quite a day, Jim. I don't know how Tuesday's going to top this, and quite frankly, I hope it doesn't.
Yeah, you know, it's a high bar Tuesday. You the gauntlet has been thrown down.
That's true. Jim, rest up. Talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And don't forget to visit our friends at Simply Safe Home Security. That's simplysafe.com/ricochet. And join us on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.